Jesus. I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
To help me along the way.
This is Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider, what does the Lord say regarding life's issues? Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, sponsor this program, follow us on Twitter, or even like us on Facebook. We can be found at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com.
Hey, Twyla, how are you today?
Oh, LJ Renee, I am blessed, 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 and I'm living for the weekend.
Again. Man, I'm beginning to believe you really mean that, because every Thursday, that's what I hear.
Well, you know, until you retire, which you are, you know, you'll be living for the weekend. I'm just saying.
Listen, when you retire, you don't even know when holidays come up. My goodness. Yeah.
But I'll get there. If God so sees fit, I pray he does.
Yes, that's your desire.
That's my desire. Yeah. Hey, I want to read a couple of verses. We started last week, we had started talking about these 50 days, which we are now in between resurrection and the birth of the church, or the day of Pentecost. And we started talking about that at least referencing it last week. And let's continue with that conversation, talking about Pentecost and the outpour of the Spirit of God. So with that in mind, I want to read from Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. And you know, I came up in Apostolic Church, Pentecostal Apostolic Church. So these Acts chapter 2 is like the Holy Grail.
You should know that by heart.
I do. You do know. You can't be saved in a Pentecostal church unless you know these verses by heart without looking.
That's true.
But in different translations, and my true sentiment is I love it no matter what translation you read it out of. So I'm just going to read it out of the Passion Translation that I have pulled up here. But it reads wonderful in all translations. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 1-4. It says, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. Amen.
Amen. God, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for this radio broadcast. And dear Lord, we pray that, God, that as you have given us messages, that it prick the heart of those who hear, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, and cause them to thirst even the more after you. We're grateful, oh, God, for the Holy Spirit that lives within us, oh, God, and empowers us to do and to be what you've called us to be, Father. We thank you for this day of Pentecost, a day that we will never forget and that we will always celebrate and that we always look for, and, dear Father, to know your promises. Oh, Father, we just thank you and we bless you. Bless this radio program. Give us even the words to speak. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's just talk about Pentecost. It commemorates really something so wonderful in the life of believers in the church of God. Pentecost just means 50th, 50, the 50 days from the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the outpour of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and believers that were tarrying in Jerusalem. So when we think of, and there's so much about Pentecost because it is the birth of the church, and you read it all about it in Acts. And so when we're just going to highlight a few things about it, there's so much about it. But the number one thing, like we said, is Pentecost marked the birth of the church when God poured out his spirit upon those. And it was the fulfillment of a promise, because he said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And they didn't know what that was going to look like or feel like or be like, but they obeyed and they went to Jerusalem and they were waiting in the upper room. And like the Bible says, I love the description of it, and I love how they depicted it in, I think, the Bible series movies or one of the movies, when the wind came and the earth shook and the fire fell from heaven and they began to speak in unknown tongues that they had never learned. But it is the time when God fulfilled a promise, because he fulfills every promise he makes. It is the time when God fulfilled the promise to empower and equip the people of God to do the work of the ministry.
Absolutely. This, and I'm not even going to call it a story, because sometimes it gives it that falsity, you know, the fiction type of feel to it. But this is an actual event. And every time that I hear it, it just gets you excited. And to know that that promise, it lives inside of us, that we've been baptized with the power of the Holy Ghost. And for myself, and I know with you too, it with evidence of speaking in tongues. But sometimes we get hung up on the speaking in tongues part, but not understanding actually what it has empowered you to do. And the first part of what you're saying, that is, it was the initiation where the church was thrust into the earth by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that part of it just excites me, even when it goes to the point back where God has given you a purpose, but you can't do anything if you're not indwelled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. You will not be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ without the fullness of his presence dwelling in you.
That's right.
He said that I will not leave you comfortless, but lo, I will come to you. The Spirit of God, the outpour of the Spirit of God, is the fulfillment of that promise. So it is the Spirit of God, or God himself, coming to dwell in man to help you do the things that he has commissioned and required of you to do. Because without him, you know, one of the songs says, mm-hmm. without him, I can do nothing. And that is so true. Without him, I could do nothing. He has come to indwell me. He has come to equip me. He has come to empower me. His presence dwelling inside of me. And don't try to wrap your natural understanding around it, because great is the mystery of godliness. He befuddles us and baffles us, and he's beyond your understanding, and you cannot box him into your ability to explain him. So when you say, but how could God, all of God, dwell in you? I don't know how he did it. I also don't know how all of God wrapped himself up in the form of Jesus and came through the canal, the birth canal of a woman, a virgin woman at that. I don't know how he did it, but that's why we walk by faith. There are things related to our Christian faith, most things, that you just got to accept at his word and walk by faith and trust and believe that it happened like he said it happened. I can't explain it. I can't show you where it would make sense to your scientific mind, your analytical mind. But one thing I can tell you, that if you will believe on him, as the scriptures have said, out of your belly, this promises to you too, shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen. Absolutely. And, you know, to go back with all that, Twyla, it also says that he has made us to be witnesses. When he told the disciples, he said, then you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Judea and in Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. We are to be witness of who he is, to tell our testimony to people, to see how we've been transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. We are to be that witness in our homes and on our jobs and wherever we go. we're supposed to be that witness. I think last time I told you when I was playing pickleball, and they had told me that this lady was leaving early, and because she was feeling lightheaded and like she was getting ready to throw up. And so anyway, I looked over there at her. I said, is that the one you're talking about? And they said, yes, she was putting on her pants to leave. And I said, oh, okay. And I turned around and just continued to watch the pickleball game. But it wasn't until the next day when he laid on my heart so heavy that my purpose in seeing that was to go over to her and to pray for her, that she might witness the power of God coming upon her. And sometimes we forfeit those opportunities, but man, I had to ask for repentance, because that's what we are supposed to do, to look for those opportunities, because he's empowered us to do that. And oftentimes we just get so tied up into what we're doing that we fail to see those opportunities. But that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost, is to be that witness and to share who he is. Come on.
That is so amazing, because the one thing that they used to say when I was growing up in church is that God never calls you to do a thing that he doesn't equip you to do.
Yes.
So you may not, like he may ask you to do something that is not in your comfort zone to do. He may ask you to speak his word. Well, I was more of a introverted person, and public speaking was not my thing, but he will empower you to do the very thing that you thought, and that you probably were right, that you could not do without him.
Mm-hmm.
But when God plus you makes all the difference in the world, he will give you the ability to do the things that you could no way other than him do. And so we thank God for the indwelling, the empowering, the equipping of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And truly, if you are born again, remember, I don't know if you remember what, after these disciples were birthed into the church through the outpour of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, they went about teaching and preaching the word of God and converting men and women.
Yes.
And there was one point when they came across people that were excited, because they said, we've given our life to the Lord and become a part of the church. And they said, well, they were asked the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Yeah.
And the response was, we haven't heard so much that there be a Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? So until you understand, sometimes you don't know till you know. So we are praying that if you have not been recipients of this great outpour of the Spirit of God, that you are enlightened. The eyes of your understanding is enlightened, and the thirst and your desire for him is enlarged, and that you just, all you got to do is ask to receive and believe that he will grant you, and God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He said in the book of Joel, in the old, I mean, he spoke of this a long time ago. It says, and it will come to pass. It's going to happen that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He said, your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. The old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And then when the day of Pentecost happened and Peter was preaching, and they said, these guys are drunk, because they were speaking in tongues. And he said, these people are drunk. And he said, no, we're not drunk like you think. We are drunk, but we're drunk in the Spirit of God. He said, this is what Joel prophesied about. And so God always fulfills his promise. You can always trace it back. And he said it, he'll do it.
Absolutely. And even just listening to you and with the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, that word partnership sticks out to me. We are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. We are partners. And the only thing, that way that we are able to do the will of God, is that we are empowered, so that when God says go, we can go. And then not only think we can go, but we go with power to affect a person's life. And that is what God wants us to do. Another thing that I'm looking at is that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And he talks about that in 1 Corinthians, the gifts that he gives us in order to fulfill the promise, in order to reach other people. If you read in I think it's 1 Corinthians, the giftings, it is powerful. People who have received a word of wisdom and word of knowledge, it's because God has empowered that individual to speak to you, especially when you know that you don't even know the person. And if you know the person, then they don't know what you're dealing with, but he sends a word to you. And I remember even on yesterday, or day before yesterday, I was talking to a girl. We were doing a program, and she said that she, you know, she got into a particular situation, and she said her girlfriend called her. She says, I don't know. She said, the Spirit of the Lord says, whatever you're concocting, you need to abandon it and listen to what I have to say. And I thought that was powerful. I said, because, you know, because God knows all things, and God is going to reach you where you are. I don't care. David said, you know, if he made his bed in hell, there he is. He's going to be there to speak to you and to deliver you and to guide you out of the situation. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And then the other benefit of it, if I may say, is very simple, that the Holy Spirit convicts us about sin and righteousness and the judgment. Anytime you hear the word of God, it's one of those three things is going on. It's either going to convict you of sin, righteousness, or the judgment. That's the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. And he leads us and guides us into all truth. He is. You have to know and believe that. So you say, I've got the Spirit of God. That is God in you. And you have to know and believe that is the same God that said, let there be. And there was the same God.
The same
that
God.
God in you. And when Jesus walked the earth, that was God in the flesh. The same God that created the ends of the earth. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You just don't know it. But I and my Father are one. And the Holy Spirit is the other part of the Godhead. And so you say, but wait a minute. Like I told you, don't try to wrap your natural mind around it. Don't try to explain it with our human understanding, because great is the mystery of godliness. So what we want to do is know that the Holy Spirit is a promise that God gave and is still giving to those who will seek and believe upon him. And as you said, he comes for the things that you have mentioned to convict us and to lead us into truth. And the Bible also says that that the Spirit of God, as he's leading and guiding you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the Spirit of God will lead you out of danger. He will lead you to God. He is God. So he is that part in you that leads you to God. You thirst for God, the Spirit of God will lead you to him. And then the Spirit of God also comes to help you with your shortcomings and your infirmities.
Yes.
And the Spirit of God prays. Like, I don't know if y'all know this, but we pray daily together with a group of people. But so we have I have a conviction. All of us have a commandment to pray. Everybody. Don't say prayer is not your ministry. Everybody is always to pray and not cease. So everyone's been commanded to pray. I have a burden to pray, and I thank God for that. Sometimes I wish I could just sleep through and not have to get up in the morning, but I have a burden. He put that upon me to pray. The Spirit of God will oftentimes pray when we don't have the words to pray. He prays through us.
Yes,
and he
does.
Prays for us. So the Holy Ghost comes to empower you, to equip you, to help you, to lead you, to convict you, to be your paraclete. He'll come and be your defender. He'll come and be your advocate. He'll come and help you pray through when you don't know what to pray or how to pray or what to say. He is that helper. The Spirit of God is your helper. You say, I want a personal helper. Well, all you need is Jesus. He will be your personal helper.
Yes.
That friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Oh.
He's everything to me.
Yes, he is.
Everything to me.
And you know what, Twyla, even going towards the Holy Spirit makes us one. And that's what I really, when I was reading this in Ephesians 2 and in 14 in the Amplified Bible, it talks about he made us all one. He doesn't care if you're Jew or Gentile. And you know, we're hearing about the anti-Semitic, and we're talking, you know, different divisive tools people were using to separate the races, black, white, rich, poor, young, old, have nots. But this Holy Spirit, and that's what I really hone in on, because we are Christians, Christ-like. And the Holy Spirit is what makes us as one. And in the second chapter of Ephesians, it's in the 14th verse, it says, "For he is himself our peace, our bond of unity and harmony. He has made us both Jew and Gentile one body, and has broken down, destroyed, abolished the hostile dividing wall between us." That says a lot, even in this day that we're dealing with this whole thing about race. Listen, the Spirit of God makes us one. Not even separation of male and female. Listen, he's made us one. And in order for us to function as a unified body, we cannot be so tied into this theory of race, because it separates and divides us. And unfortunately, we're seeing in the body of Christ.
It's a trick of the enemy.
It's the trick of the enemy.
Jesus came to show us how we can love people that don't look like us. We can love people we don't know. We can love people that are not like us because of the love of God.
And
what the world will do in opposite, diametrically opposed to the things of God, the world tells you they are not like you. So you have to shun them. That's totally opposite of what, if that were the mantra of the scripture and of Jesus, not one of us would be saved.
Not one of us would be saved.
Not one of us was like Jesus, right? He came and took our sinful nature away, took away our filthy rags and our unrighteousness, and has given us, cleansed us with his Holy Spirit and given us his Spirit to dwell in us. If we had to look like him, be like him, sound like him before he would do those things for us, not one of us would have been saved. Not one of us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, not one of us would have been saved, because all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only one who is holy, righteous, blameless, and faultless, and his name is Jesus. And if you had to be like that, there was no others like him. So we don't want to fall into the trick of the devil to separate ourselves by these natural things such as race and gender and political persuasion, all these things that do not even matter. We are one. If you are a believer, we are one in the Spirit of God.
One in this, and this is another thing too. I like to stress too, even if you think someone is one up on you, have started before you, had had opportunities before you, listen, God through the Holy Spirit can level the playing field. He levels that playing field. You know, people wonder, well, how did you get this money? How did you do this? Because God leveled the playing field. That's the reason why we have favor with God.
Amen.
And that's that favor that man can't give you. And another thing we need to keep in mind, he says, how can you say that you love me, who you can't see or have not seen, and you hate your brother? He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. It's not a question whether God loves me, because God does. He loves us. But he said, but if you love him, you would keep my commandments. That's what we really have to pay attention to, because we cannot make our own heaven. We can't make our own rules of how we get in. We can't just go up to the door and knock, and no matter what our lives, that's not it. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
And you know what, LJ Renee, you and I hadn't talked about this, so I don't even know if you've even heard this in the news, but I think it was either last week or early this week, but it was very recent. OJ Simpson passed away of cancer. And I don't know if you had heard that. And it was very interesting that many commentators on many stations were saying he has now finally been judged by the great judge and he's in hell. And I thought to myself immediately, you don't know where that man is.
You better worry about yourself.
Because here's the thing. Whether he, you know, they go back to he killed his ex-wife. I don't know if he did or not, right? I don't know. I know he had the greatest attorney I have ever seen in my life, Johnny Cochran. So I don't know if he did it or not. But let's say he did it. Okay, because if he didn't do that, he did something else. All of us did. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's say he did it. And he got away with it because he got off and was not convicted. That man, he could have done that, got away with it, got off. That does not mean that man is in hell. Do you know that that is the whole purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? He didn't come to save the good folks, because there was no good folks. No. He came seeking and saving those who needed a savior, the sinners, the lost, the unregenerated. So if you think he is the worst of the worst of the worst, and maybe he is or was, but that is who Jesus came to save. And what I wanted so badly to be able to say, if he gave his life to Jesus, he just as saved as every other saved person, of which I'm assuming they weren't, because they didn't know that. But the grace of God, you have not, to those listening, you have not gone to a place where you have escaped the realm of his grace. So no matter what you have done and where you are, there is one thing the scripture talks about that men, that, you know, he doesn't get you, redeem you from, and that's blasphemy. Very few people have done that. But if you have sinned and come short of the glory of God and have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, his grace is sufficient for you today. His promise is still for you. On the cross, we just talked about the resurrection, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. On the cross, when Jesus gave his life for you and I, you guys remember that on each side of Jesus was hung on a cross, and on each side of him, left and right, there was a thief hanging on another cross. And the Bible says of one of those thieves, one of them jeered him and mocked him and said, "Why don't you save yourself if you are the Son of God?" And the other one said, "You know what? This man has done no wrong. You and I, we done wrong. We know why we hanging here. We were thieves. This man didn't do anything wrong." So he looked at Jesus and he said, "If you will remember me when you come, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And because he believed that this was a righteous man hanging on that cross in Jesus. And Jesus said, "Today," basically, "when you lay your head, when you bow your head for the last time and breathe for the last time, today you will be with me in paradise." And it didn't matter what that man had done. It didn't matter how bad that man was. That was why Jesus was hanging on that cross. And so, O.J. Simpson, I know we don't like to think of this, but you think of the worst of the worst of the worst criminals and bad people that you've ever seen in your life, or even that you've read about, the grace of God is shed for them. The blood of Jesus is shed for them, and the grace of God is extended to them if they would believe. That's how powerful and extensive the love of God is, that to all who will believe, he will give you power to become a son of God. And that's what the day of Pentecost was all about. He made them sons of God.
That's it. That's another benefit.
And that truly is gender neutral. We say sons of God, that's male and female.
Well, listen, he
said, made us sons of God.
Yes, he says sons, he calls us sons of God. We're women, sons of God. And then he calls the church the bride. So if he can call us sons of God, and he ain't looking at no gender, but then he called the church the bride, meaning a woman.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
You know, so it's just so awesome as that to even hear you even speaking to that. And those who are listening, you know, that have not given their lives to Christ, that's a good call, altar call right there in the name of Jesus.
Pray for them today. We mentioned many of these things, and I want to pray, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes to teach us, to comfort us, to convict and correct us, to keep us in remembrance of God's word, to give us the spiritual gifts that we could operate in, to empower and equip us, also to pray through us when we don't know what to pray for. So, dear God, we just thank you right now for the promise of the Holy Ghost and the outpour and fulfillment of that promise on the day of Pentecost. We thank you that the day of Pentecost happens every day for somebody around this world. I pray today that those listening who have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like you describe it in scriptures, God, the outpour of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that every single one of them is thirsty for you and opens their heart to receive you, and you pour out your Spirit upon them. And those who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, would you give us a fresh outpouring, a renewal in you, Father, that would you regenerate, replenish, revive us in you, God. We thank you that your Spirit was given as a fulfillment of promise. Your Spirit was given to teach us all things of God, to be our comforter, because you said you'd not leave us comfortless. Your Spirit was given to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Your Spirit was given to keep us in remembrance of your word. Your Spirit is given to help us pray through and to pour out your Spirit, your fruit of the Spirit into our lives, and help us to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You came to equip and empower us to do the will of God in the earth. And we thank you today. And we love you. Let Pentecost be a tremendous triumph of celebration in the life of every believer. And I pray that before that 50th day arises, that you add to the church millions, Father, such as should be saved, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in. This has been Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? Come visit us at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We'd like you to join us for morning prayer. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. Even see how you can sponsor this show. Again, it's www.whatdoesthelordsay.com.